Let's turn, brethren, to Psalm 40. I wonder if there's anybody here who truly has a heart to cry unto the Lord. If so, I can assure you from the words of Psalm 40 that the Lord will hear you. I can assure you of that, and He'll save you. Whether you're a sinner calling for the first time, or whether you're a sinner who is born of Him and is in the midst of a trial and crying upon Him. Whoever calls upon Him from a true heart, the heart He's given, I guarantee you our Lord will hear you and He'll save you. Psalm 40 are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We easily recognize verses 6 through 8. He says there, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Christ is the willing bondservant." We saw the law of the bondservant. He's the willing bondservant. His ears been opened. And he said, "Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." And we know the Hebrew writer tells us these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in Hebrews 10. Now, I want you to listen to what our Lord Jesus declares in verse 1. Listen to this carefully. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." I waited, but not just any kind of waiting. I waited patiently. Patiently. For the Lord, for the Lord God, for God His Father. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And because Christ patiently waited, and because God heard His cry and did these things for Him, Christ declares, "Many shall see and fear and shall trust in the Lord." If the Lord's made you truly call upon Him, if the Lord's made you truly call upon Him, as you wait, I assure you, the Lord will incline His ear, and He will hear, and He will do all these things for you because the Lord Jesus Christ patiently waited and was heard. I want to talk about why the Lord waited. Why the Lord waited. We'll look at four things here concerning Christ and then one thing concerning us. Why was Christ patiently waiting? What Christ manifested by patiently waiting? What He endured as He patiently waited? What He accomplished by patiently waiting? And then we'll hear His word to us. First of all, why was Christ patiently waiting? It says there in verse 1, "I patiently waited for the Lord." Why? Why was He patiently waiting? Because in verse 6, He said, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." The Son of God was sent forth by God the Father to be the head of His sinful people. You and I, by nature, are disobedient. We're disobedient. We've never patiently waited on God by nature. That's just opposite to us by nature. We do not patiently wait on the Lord. We don't like to wait, period. And we certainly do not wait patiently as the Lord Jesus Christ did. We certainly don't. And so we're sinners, brethren. We're fallen in sin. There's not one of God's elect that's ever done the will of God from a holy heart in perfection. Not one fallen sinner. We wait impatiently. If this was written solely of man, it would say, I waited impatiently. It was necessary that the Son of God come, take flesh like His brethren, that He might do the will of God from a holy heart as God's obedient servant. That was absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Patiently waiting. Patiently waiting upon God His Father. This was not only necessary, this was the very character of our Redeemer. This was the heart of our Redeemer. Holy, without spot, without blemish. This was His holy heart to wait upon His Father. He was perfectly believing His Father. He was perfectly trusting His Father. He was doing what His Father's will was, and He was waiting on His Father to answer His cry when it was the very right time for it to be answered. That's trust in the Lord. That's believing on God. That's serving God obediently, perfectly, faithfully. He patiently waited because He had this sure hope. He had a firm expectation of what God promised God would fulfill. He's the perfect believer, our Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the Holy One who is the head representing all His people. He perfectly waited patiently upon God, expecting His help and His assistance. Well, isn't He God? Couldn't He do for Himself? Yes, He's God. But no, He couldn't do for Himself in this situation. Because He took the form of a servant. And He's representing His people. He's serving for His people. He's being the obedient servant that His people can't be. That's what He's doing. And He never once murmured in discontent. Not one time. Do we have a problem with that? We can't talk about the weather without murmuring, can we? We murmur because it's cold, and as soon as it gets hot, it's too hot. We murmur because it's dry, as soon as it's rained too much. We murmur. He never impatiently murmured against God His Father, not one time. He waited in faith. He was waited in hope, He waited in resignation, He waited in confidence that God would help him and deliver him. Don't you think it's amazing when you think about it that the Son of God took flesh and put Himself willingly in this place? God came down and put Himself willingly in this place of where He had to cry unto the Father and wait on the Father to give Him help. I find that absolutely amazing. He did it for His Father and for His brethren. He was brought into such a trial that He had to cry out to God and He had to wait on God to help Him. But it was necessary to fulfill the will of God. It was necessary. And it was necessary He do this perfectly to fulfill the will of God. And Scripture says it's by that will, by His will, that we're sanctified. By Him fulfilling the will of God, that we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ one time. One time. We ought to ask God constantly for more grace to make us patiently wait to see what the Lord is doing. And to wait on Him and to be able to receive what He's doing gladly. To to patiently wait. We need grace to do that, don't we? We need grace to do it. But we know this, that whatever God does, it's the right time. I don't know why we get impatient. Whatever time God does something in, it's the right time. And Scripture says of every believer, and all our times are in His hand. So, why do we get... And I'm going to tell you now, I can put on a pretty good show for you, but I can't even do that really all that well. But you can ask that woman, I'm not patient about anything. Oh, I struggle with impatience. Impatience. But here we have my perfect patient waiting. He's right here. This is what we're looking at. And you who believe, this is your perfect patient waiting on God right here. And you can say that. You can go down the whole law of God. And I'm talking about go through all 600 commandments. And you can say, right there on the cross, that's my perfect perfection of that commandment right there. Well, what was He manifesting by patiently waiting? What was He doing? He was fulfilling the will of God. We see that. What was He manifesting? Verse 9. He said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid... And here's the righteousness He's talking about. I've not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I've not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. Who's the great congregation? That's His people. That's this whole world. But specifically, His people. His people. The Son of God came to manifest God. That's why He came. God is a spirit. You can't see God. The Son of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were spiritual. They before Christ came, you couldn't see God. But Christ came to manifest the fullness of the Godhead in a body. That's who He is, and that's what He's manifesting. So when you look at Christ, you see God. You see God. The old preachers used to say, He's all man as if He was not God, and all God as if He was not man. He's the God-man. And there He is. There's God in human flesh. That's a mystery. God came down and dwelt among us. In human flesh. But you think He's here to manifest God. He's here to manifest God's attributes and God's character and He's here to show us God. He said He came to show God's faithfulness. That would never be manifest if He was impatient. That wouldn't be manifest if He was impatient. God's faithfulness. God's faithful. He's faithful to His people. And for that reason, He's patient with His people. He came to manifest God's loving kindness. God's loving kindness could not have been manifest if our Lord Jesus Christ grew impatient with His disciples. Here He was being falsely accused. You need brethren to stand with you when you're falsely accused. You need when my brethren are accused falsely, I'm going to, Lord willing, stand with them because I've been blessed through them so much by their preaching. I've been, and plus, I know where their heart's at. You know, I'm not going to make them to be offensive if they say something wrong, and you're not either. Neither are you. God's people are not going to do that to one another. We're going to stand with one another. We're going to stand with brethren. You need that. But this thing got so heated. It got so hot whenever our Lord's being accused and His disciples left Him. Imagine if our Lord Jesus Christ grew impatient with that and began to rail on them for that. We would have seen His loving kindness. His mercy and truth was being exhibited. He said, you know, mercy is his our salvation. Mercy, forgiveness, mercy, and truth. The upholding of the law, the establishing of the law, not letting the guilty go free. Mercy and truth are being met together. That's what he's declaring, he said. How God's just and justifier. What if he got impatient and came down off that cross 1 second before God said, justice is satisfied? Our sins, God would have never been declared just and justifier, and our sins would have never been expiated and God propitiated on our behalf if he grew impatient in his waiting on the Lord. See how important waiting can be? That's what he's doing. But he waited in perfect obedience. We talked about the law this morning and the obedience that it requires. I'll tell you when we find out we're not patient in waiting is when we start to suffer. And we're going to find out in just a minute what he was enduring while he was waiting. But he was patient, perfect in his waiting, and he never resisted the Father's will. Ever. In any of this. When they were putting a crown of thorns on him and when they were nailing the nails, he never resisted even. He was patiently waiting on God, his Father. Now, thirdly, look at this. What was he enduring as he patiently waited? He says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. And that's another way we see his tender mercies and his loving kindness and his truth. God was waiting to show that in how he dealt with his son. But here he says, now look, this is why he says this, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Brethren, have your iniquities ever caused you to not be able to look up? Have you ever found yourself so guilty that you just can't look up to God? Well, here's the good news of this. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows. He consciously is aware of what that is. He knew no sin and he did no sin at all, ever. Never rebellious. We're watching him here perfectly, patiently wait on the Lord. But he bore our sins in such a way that the Scripture says he despised the shame of it. He consciously is touched with the feeling of that shame of our iniquities. And he knows it. He can comfort you. He knows what you're feeling. He knows God's chastening hand. That's what was taking place. You know, and this is what I was getting at a while ago, when we start to suffer, that's when we really grow impatient. And it don't take much for us to suffer, and we're really impatient. If we just are having to wait a little longer than we want to wait, that's just too much for us to bear sometimes. We grow angry and everything else. Our Lord Jesus Christ is bearing. He's standing before God the Father and having to be looked upon in a way he abhorred being looked upon by the law. He's standing before the Father, and actually the Father has turned his back on him. So that he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that was not in sin that he cried that. That was not impatient murmuring that he cried that. He was crying that to tell us the reason is, as he said, because you're holy. God is holy. God is holy. And so as He suffered there, brethren, unimaginable. I mean, I firmly am convinced that the stripes He was bearing from men, the crown of thorns and the spitting in His face and the plucking out the hairs of His beard and all of these things that we look at and say, just that is just unimaginable pain He was suffering. But brethren, that is just to give us some idea of what was going on between Him and the just judge of heaven and earth when justice was being satisfied. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He was sweating great drops of blood. He was sweating blood. That's the kind of pressure and soul agony our Redeemer was experiencing. And what did He pray? Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And then all these innumerable evils that men were doing to Him, He was surrounded by it. All these wicked things they were doing. And again, that's to give us some idea of the unseen things that we can't see that was going on. That the devil was doing. Don't you know the devil was tempting Him on the cross and trying to get Him to do anything he could get Him to do that would be impatient and make Him not wait? We have no idea what He was suffering on the cross, but we get some idea of the wilderness, the temptation in the wilderness. We get some idea of it through what He was enduring when He was compassed about by the evil, wicked hands that were doing things to Him. And when He was made sin for us, the Lord laid on Him the iniquities of all His people. When justice forsook Him on that cross, He experienced the weakness of our flesh. And this is what He was saying here. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. Therefore, my heart faileth me. My heart faileth me. This was the horrible pit. This was the miry clay that our Redeemer went to. This is what I deserved. This is what you deserve. And it's because God is so righteous that He says, He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. The Lord doesn't do that. The Lord does not arbitrarily condemn anybody. No one. No one. And He does not arbitrarily save anyone. It's got to be done in justice and in righteousness. What did Christ accomplish by patiently waiting? He made intercession for His sinful people. We're told that in Isaiah 53. He made intercession for the transgressors. That's what He did. He accomplished interceding for us on behalf of His people. And so now, by Him, all our enemies are destroyed and His people are saved. Because He intercedes. He gets whatever He asked the Father for. He purchased that right as a man, as the God-man, to get whatever He asked the Father for. And here's what He asked the Father for, right here. Verse 13, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha." How could, you know, get all upset and I'll probably get emails from this. How could you say that Christ would pray for that? Isn't that sinful? No, that's perfect justice. You know, Scripture says, the Revelation says that whenever the day of judgment comes and men are cast out into outer darkness forever, you know what the host of heaven is going to do? praise God for His righteousness, for His being just. Because man who perishes and is condemned, he earned what he got. The wages of sin is death. He earned it. And God justly gives a man whatever he's earned. That's what He gives. You won't find it any other way anywhere in the Scripture. If you can find me a place where God condemned anybody for any other reason than the man's own earning it by his wages of rejecting Christ, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I promise you, you won't find it. God's righteous. He's righteous. And this is what He accomplished also. But because that's what He accomplished, don't forget this now, that means He conquered all the enemies of His people. Because He conquered all our enemies, and He prays for all His enemies to be cast down, He conquered all our enemies. Do you know that in Hebrews 10, when it says He's sitting there now waiting until His enemies be made His footstool? Do you know who His enemies are? You know, the Scripture says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know who His enemies are that are going to be made to bow? Every single person on the planet. Every single person ever born in history. Some are going to bow in justice and condemnation. They're going to bow, and they never would bow in this earth. They're going to be made to bow and confess He's Lord. And you and I, who were enemies in our minds by wicked works, yet who He chose by His free and sovereign grace, we're going to bow to. But this enemy that He's talking about is going to be put down. God's going to prevail. Christ shall not fail. And so by His intercession, He's procured our salvation, and everybody He prays, intercedes for, shall be saved. Look at this next thing He prays here, verse 16. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. He accomplished salvation for His people so that all His people are going to be given a heart to seek Him. All His people are going to be given faith to rejoice in Him and be glad in Him. And all His people are going to love His salvation. They're going to be brought to rejoice in His salvation. They're going to be brought to say continually, the Lord be magnified. That's the difference between will works religion and true religion. One is glorifying man, the other is glorifying the Lord, magnifying the Lord. That's right. And all His people say, the Lord be magnified. He accomplished this, and it's a guarantee that it's going to be in all His people. And He did this by patiently waiting upon the Lord. On that cross, there's perfect, perfect obedience. Patiently waiting till justice was satisfied. So that all His enemies are conquered and all His people are saved. Now, let's hear His message to you and me. Go back now, look at verse 17. He says, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Are you poor and needy? I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And what does He teach us the Lord did for him? Look back now at verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Hebrews 5:7 says, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, He was heard in that He feared. God inclined unto him and heard his cry. His fear and his reverence was seen in him patiently waiting. And God heard him because he feared. He patiently waited. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. If he's gonna not only reconcile his people, but also be able to comfort his people, he's going to have to experience what it is to obey as a man. And that's what he experienced. He learned this, and he says, by the things which he suffered and being made perfect, he perfected obedience. He perfected obedience for his people. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Oh, I wish I could get this across to people, brethren. What is it we're to do if we want to be saved? What is it we're to do? People always want to know, what must I do? What must I do? Obey Him. Obey Him. What does He say? He says, believe on me. He that believeth and is not ashamed to confess me in baptism, he shall be saved, he said. Believe on me. The one thing man can't do is stop trying to do things to save himself and trust the Lord to do it. And he said, my cry he heard because I patiently waited on him. I believed him. I trusted him. I waited on him. And he says this, he brought me up, verse 2, Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. In Gethsemane, the Lord sent an angel and strengthened him. On the third day, the Lord raised him in newness of life. He walked out of the tomb. And now God has raised him, glorified as the God-man, and given him all power over all things above, in, and below. He's got all power over all as the God-man. His salvation's accomplished. It's finished. His work is done. He's seated at God's right hand. It's a firm foundation. Never, ever, ever, ever to diminish or fade or be changed or altered in any way. It's accomplished. And verse 3 says, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You can go through the scriptures and you can find where he says, and I preached in the great congregation, like we saw here, and he says, and I'll sing praises unto you in the congregation. Well, didn't he do that when he walked this earth? Yep. And he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He's putting this song in the mouth of his people through the preaching of the word, whereby he gives us faith to believe on him and discernment to see what he's accomplished for us. And that's how he puts this song on our lips. It's the song of praise unto our God. You see it there? He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You say, well, this looks like everything a believer. God brings a believer through. Yes, but Christ is our forerunner. And everything that God's going to bring His people through, Christ first went through it as our forerunner and has entered in and sat down at God's right hand, and we've entered in and sat down with Him. And so now He's going to bring you and I to experience this ourselves. And He says, that because he waited, God heard his cry and raised him. And Christ promises us this. Many shall see. Many are going to see. They shall see and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Not everybody. Not everybody. But God's going to bring all those he died for to see what he's done. He's going to bring us all to have reverence for Him by giving us a new heart. He's going to bring us to trust the Lord, to put our trust in the Lord. Now, all of this is due to our Savior patiently waiting upon the Lord. All of this is due to the Lord patiently waiting. That meant He trusted the Lord. That meant He believed God. That's what's being manifest. Perfect faith and fidelity is being manifest. That's the righteousness of God is manifest by what? The faith of Christ. The faith and fidelity of Christ. That's what this patient waiting is. He believed God. He's fulfilling everything He promised the Father in the covenant, in the eternal council of grace. And God, he's waiting on God to fulfill everything He promised him. But justice has got to be satisfied first. You and I could suffer for an eternity. We never would satisfy justice. But here's the eternal Son of God suffering, and He is satisfying justice. He's satisfied, but not before God says He's finished. And so He trusted. And here's what He says to you and me. Listen to this. Verse 4, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." If you'd be happy, trust the Lord. Make Him all your trust. Peter said it like this, cast all your care on Him. All of it, every bit of it on Him. There's where you'll find happiness. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting to be moved by the Lord. Waiting, trusting to be controlled by the Lord. Trusting that the Lord's going to move you and guide you and waiting on His time. Trusting Him, looking to Him alone. And here's what goes with that. And having no respect to man. Not depending on yourself, your flesh, your works, your will, your thinking, your how you think things are, nothing. And not any other sinful man. That's turning aside to lies. You read Isaiah, he said there, the Lord said, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Believe on the Lord, make Him your trust and put all your trust in Him." Go over to Hebrews 11. I'll show you, and I'll end with this. This is what the Scripture says. We're going to come back to Psalm 40, but I want to show you this. This is what He's saying right here. This is what the Scripture tells us to do. And this is what His people do, but it's only by His grace working in us right here. Hebrews 12. He says, He gave, given us all that cloud of witnesses who did this before we came along. And He showed us how God honored their faith. He did all these things He did for Christ. So now look at this. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him." What's that? That's His people. And He's our joy. He's the joy set before us, and we were the joy set before Him. And for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He endured the cross. He patiently waited on God, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Run this race with patience, looking to Him, trusting Him. Our Savior has done everything we're going to face, and He's going to do everything right, perfectly, in the right time, so we can patiently wait for Him to accomplish what's best. And if you look back to Psalm 40, here's why we can be sure that waiting on Him is what's going to be for the best. Look at verse 5. "Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee." If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. God's doing that for His people. But He's going to do it in His time. And we're going to have to wait on Him. But it'll be all good for His people. All good for them. I hope that the Lord will bless that. Let's, Brother Art, if you'll come lead us in a closing hymn. And Brother Jeff, you want to come up close in prayer when he gets finished singing.